Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this body. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we do honor you to see the people that step forward to believers' baptism this past Saturday. We thank you for that commitment. And Lord, we just rejoice before you as I know you rejoice. And Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of being up at EMT, Lord, and we rejoice with that also to see how you're moving in such a variety of ways. And God, you're doing great things, and it's so great to have our eyes upon you and see how you move in a powerful way. And just thank you for each person here, and Lord, the special blessing you've given us and protection you've given us, and so we just honor you. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak forth your words, and I pray that each heart would be open to receive your words. And we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I had the title to the message is Preach the Word. And what I do is, you well know on your computer, I always put the title in or something to see if I'm repeating myself. And so I put the title in, boom, and the thing came up. I feel like the whole thing, I thought, oh. So I looked at it, but I was very encouraged. I didn't use any verses in that message that I'm using in this one. The only thing is similar is the title, you know. So God's Word, you can preach the Word, so you've got a lot of area to cover. So other than the title, there's no repetition. I'm not copying from a previous message, which may not bother you, but it would greatly bother me anyway like that. So anyway, Preach the Word is the title of the message. And so just read along with me 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, Preach the Word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, in the context, when we'll look at this, but then make an application. Now, most all of it, the Apostle Paul is about to be executed. Okay, he's gone. His ministry is finished, and he knows it. And so he's doing, he wrote this letter to Timothy, and he's preparing Timothy. He's kind of like, hey, the ball's yours. The baton's yours. It's it. And so he's encouraging him. So the whole book, when you read 2 Timothy, that's the mindset in the whole book. And like it starts off, like, guard the deposit given you. You know, because he's like, you need to guard this. And I'll mention that later on. And so it really has, it definitely, as these books are called pastoral epistles, you know, it's going to tell pastors how to conduct a church and what they should watch out for and all of that. But I want to make a point here is, and so it's certainly, you know, speaking to me and, you know, as the rest of the Bible does. But I really want to make the point here, and I specifically want to make the point to any of you that have been here for a long time, okay, that you've been here a while, anybody that's been here a while, because I know that this letter is to you, and it's to everybody, but I want specifically those that have been here for a while that we know of. The letter's to you also because you have sound teaching. I know you do. I know you have sound teaching. You know, that we were, this wasn't joking, but it's common. I said, somebody can ask them, Broadlands Community Church, so what are you going to hear? I said, you're going to hear the Bible preached. Period. I mean, and there's no fluff and nothing else. And you just, you know, if you don't like that, you're not going to like it here. You know, it's and so we just stick, you know, what the Bible says. And in which we all say, praise Jesus, amen, that's what we want to do. And always, I love it, you know, my approach is, when you preach it, I'm giving my take on the stuff, on the Bible and what it says and preaching the Word. But the bottom foundation for each person here, they hear what I say, they look at their Word, then they make the determination based on what God's telling them. See, somebody come, well, I don't, you know, why did you say this? I don't agree with you. Well, just read it. What is it telling you? You know, I may be wrong. Read it. See, I'm not the authority. The Bible's the authority. So just read it, you know, like that. I'm highlighting some things I saw. If God shows you, that's fine. Oh, reminds me of a story, and I think I've told you this before. And I still know this couple. Still know this. But this lady was going through a divorce. really an abusive husband. I mean, when you would look at it, you would say, this is ridiculous. You know, you need to pull out of this situation and separate yourself. This is so, you know, abusive to you. And she says, can you show me that in the scripture? I said, sure. You can always find something in scripture. I said, sure. So I said, but what it said, and basically it said that you can't tell if your spouse is going to come to the Lord and let the unbelieving depart. You're not held accountable to that. And you're not held abusive. And it's in the section of scripture. She says, okay. And I swear, she went down like four verses, and she said, but the Lord told me this. I said, then that's what you do. That's, I don't, but you said, no, I didn't care what I, it didn't make any difference what I say. It does not make any difference. I saw the word, and that's what I see. And you go three verses below it, that's the reason you need to kind of read the whole Bible. And she said, but the Lord told me this. And I said, you say, I says, how do you know? Because the Lord told you that. And it's good. You read it correctly. What about you? I said, that's also correct. But this is what he's telling you. And so anyway, long story short, you know, the guy ended up leaving stuff. She's remarried and been married 20 years. And, you know, things work things well for her. But I think things worked out well for her because she is obedient. First off with that, she's obedient there. She's obedient there. And, you know, it's like God says, love Wallace, but you need to edit this. Just look here. Okay, but now the point of it is, the whole point is that preach the word. And that's what this says, preach the word. And so when I look at this congregation and the people who have been with us for a long time, it's like, it's not just, it is to me to preach the word, it tells me, but it's to you. It's to you to preach the word. You're to preach the word because I know that you have been equipped. You know, I know you have sound teaching. I know you have the Holy Spirit. The evidence of your ministry here is totally evidence of that. And so every word here is also to you, all right, as much as it is to me. I had, and I appreciate Carlos's prayer. And see, wish Linda and I were trying to leave town quietly. Sneak out. Of course, you know, it's been a month. We hadn't seen them. You know, but anyway, so, but it's just reinforcing here. I was talking to somebody and says, well, who's going to cover for you? I said, well, I got four guys covering for me. Oh, you're not going to get outside preacher. Definitely not getting outside preacher. Definitely. I know these guys. You know, you're like, no, I'm good. We're covered. And so, but the point of it is that, like, when I asked them to speak, which they graciously agreed to, and I'm saying this as a teaching point, I didn't ask them what they were going to speak on. I didn't say a word. I mean, they got it. They can go with it. And there's something else very interesting. They didn't tell me what they were going to speak on. And it never crossed their mind. It's like, you know. And so why is that? Because it's like, okay, he asked me to preach, so I'll preach the word. I'll preach what God shows me. And the point of it is, that was a natural reaction. And that should be the natural reaction, like that. And so when you look at it, I know, and I'll listen and watch, you know, but I know when they preach, they're going to preach the word. I don't know what they're going to say. They're going to preach the word. See, and that's what we all fall back to, is on the word. And we all, each of them, will have a little different take, but yet they'll preach the word. And you know, just you know, every once in a while, I'm open. They say, "Well, that's a great message." But I was wondering about, you know, and that's good, you know, because God shows different things. But anyway, the point of saying, hallelujah, you preach the word. He's talking to everybody because you have sound teaching. You have received the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you have the capacity to preach the word. And so this is being passed on to you. Passed on to you. And I've shared this before. If you stand, this won't happen, but if you're standing before the pearly gates, and God's going to say, well, okay, tell me what Wallace told you. He not. He didn't care what I told you. Now, he may ask me, go, what'd you tell them that? You know, they're not going to ask you, because it's up to you to stand before and learn from the word and then apply it. You preach the word what you learn. And by the way, that's called discipleship. Discipleship. Okay. All right, so let's look at this with that perspective. It's like, no, he's speaking to us because we have the word. We have the word. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, it's like we have the same thing Paul had, you know, same thing Timothy had. And so we're the same things given to us. Now, with that, and then we're going to see how this incredibly fits with us in this day and age. So as a result, we have the responsibility to preach the word. And that word means herald or proclaim, you know, it has that wrapped up meaning. And it also has a meaning to announce with an official capacity. Now, that's important. Like, I'm standing here, and y'all probably would think, yeah, that's good, and you would recognize that as I preach, that I announce with official capacity. But when you share, you also, because you're well taught and have the Holy Spirit, you are announcing with an official capacity. You see what I'm saying? It's based on the word and the Lord speaking to you. So that's the application. Well, I don't know what to do. I'm going to ask Wallace. You know, God's going, don't ask him. You have the official capacity to speak. You say it. I put you here. I didn't put him here. Now, that's just, I mean, that is the truth. He didn't put me there. He put you there. You know, God did not give me your next door neighbor. Okay? It's like, Wallace would talk to my next door neighbor, I know they come to the Lord. And they come in. They go, who is this guy? Why are you bringing him to my house? You know, it's like, no. I'll talk to you, but I don't care anything talking to me. I really feel uncomfortable around him anyway. He's got a crazy southern accent, too. I said, how long he been here? See, you see what I'm saying? I'm getting off story. Y'all don't mind my story. We have, I can tell you, it's okay. You know, we've talked about the land situation, and, you know, we're looking at, you all are up to date, and so we're going through that. Well, one of the guys that's working with, his name is Casey Veach. Casey Veach, and he went to Reston Bible Church for a long time. And he'd been, I mean, for 30 years. I don't know, a long time, but this case, and I just know him very, very well. Have known him since at Reston Bible Church. And he told me, he told me this recently, and he goes, and he said, well, he made the comment, says, well, you know, you were the first one that really introduced me to Christ. That's what Casey told me. And I'm thinking, I don't remember this. I had no idea. I said, what do you mean? He said, yeah. And he said, I mean, it's an introduction. I didn't have it all together. He says, you did a wedding back. And he told me who it was. I said, oh, my gosh. That's like 30 years ago. I mean, these people have grown kids. I said, yeah, I did do that wedding. And he says, the reason I came to church, everybody's trying to get me to go to this Bible church. He said, I don't have anything to do with it. A bunch of Bible thumpers, and he was some other church who I won't mention. And he said, but he knew these people getting married. So he came. Well, I'm doing the wedding, okay? And I remember it was full. I bet there's, you know, there's over 200 people there. It was full, the families and stuff like that. And he said, I just figured, all these, you know, and he said, all these Bible thumpers. And that's why he would say, these Bible thumpers. And he made the comment, he said, it's like that, what was that guy in the South? Gentry was his name. You know who it was. Gentry? Elmer Gentry. See, y'all got to, you don't know who Elmer Gentry is? Oh, my gosh. Don't look him up. Oh, my. But he's a big Southern preacher, you know, and he's one that just like that. And he said, I just figured that's what all these Bibles, this, all these big Bibles on Southern preachers. And so I'm sitting there feeling really uncomfortable and says, you get up and you talk like you're straight out of the Dukes of Hazzard. He goes, oh, no. Oh, no. I knew it. I knew it. So I'm dying. He just told me, I didn't know this. You know, I'm glad he didn't tell me earlier. I might never preached again. It was like that. He said, I couldn't believe it. I said, here, I knew it. I just absolutely knew it. And he said, but then you stood up and shared. And I do what I always do. I gave the gospel. I gave the gospel. And he says, it's like God spoke to me and says, he's right. And from that wedding, he was involved with the couple that went, and he started coming with the couple who come through and came to receive the Lord, you know, through Mike Minner. See, Mike Minner always gets all the credit. But anyway, I laid the foundation. But Mike is up there. Come in, brother. We prayed over, you know. But what the whole point I'm saying is you preach the word. You preach. You don't know. All I did was give the gospel at a wedding. That's all I did, you know. And again, he thought I was, you know, gantry. I mean, he did like, oh, my God, he couldn't believe it. And he says a real turnoff. It wasn't a like that. So anyway, so the thing over here, we preach the word. You never know what's going to happen. You preach the word at all times. And this is what God is telling us always to do when we have an opportunity. Now, and so you announce with an official a capacity. Well, you have Christ in you, Holy Spirit in you. You have the official capacity. If Jesus showed up, does he have the official capacity? Yeah, by his presence, okay? The Holy Spirit in us, and we step up, do we have the official capacity? Yeah. We have sound teaching because we believe what the Scripture says. Now, so with this, we look at this, and a teacher, a preacher who preaches the word, does not he's a herald and a preacher, but not of his own opinions. Not of his own opinions. And I'm careful, and I think you will notice I'm careful. I have an opinion, but I tell you what that opinion is. Here's what the word says. Now, this is what it says. This is my opinion. So you automatically click over. This is the opinion. It may be good, may be bad, but this is opinion. But the word says what it says. And here's my answer. This is my opinion about the word. And so we're not to preach our own opinion, but we proclaim God's eternal, authoritative word of truth. Now, so, and also what we're going to see in this, it tells us that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. Okay, you preach the word, and ready, you preach the word. And by the way, we know where this is coming from. It comes from the word. If somebody can't show you the word on it, I mean, it may be encouraged, but don't pay attention to it, okay? I mean, if you can edify someone, but what does the word say? What does the word say? And so then it says here, this preacher, this proclaimer with authority, official capacity, he claims to be ready in season and out of season. Okay, when? Okay, you're like, hey, I'll be a pastor. And it's like, okay. So it's like, I'm going to be gone 30 days. So I quit being a pastor. I ain't sharing nobody. No, you can't do that. You can't do that, you know, because you're going to have a divine appointment because it's who you are, and that's your capacity. You have to do that. And so be prepared for every divine appointment. See, I did that wedding. It wasn't meant to be an evangelistic service. It was just to share what this couple believed. But it was a divine appointment. I didn't even realize it. But I did preach the word, so it didn't make any difference. See, it didn't make any difference. Then God, once I preached the word, then God gave him all the other answers. You see, it's just fascinating when you have the perspective like this. I didn't mean to take this much up front. But anyway, so preach in season and out of season. We must be constantly on duty. Constantly on duty, ready in every situation to speak God's truth. All right? Amen? And so this is what this verse is saying to us. So we're good at this. I'm just going to read it one more time. Preach the word. Okay? Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, I want to add here that so many people, you talk to them, and, you know, we're all a little timid. Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know enough. You know, I don't know. Well, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is really, really sharp. He's really, really smart, you know, because he'll tell you something. It's like, oh, wow. You know, now, I've had people say, man, you wouldn't believe what I never knew I knew that. I'm just so excited. I said, you still don't know that. The Holy Spirit knew it and just told you. See, give it credit where the credit goes. You know, the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure all of you have been such, shared the gospel, somebody asked them, and all of a sudden you're rattling off a bunch of scripture and say something. What? Where'd all that come from? I just wanted a hamburger. And all of a sudden, they just come flood. Because the Holy Spirit puts you there, and he floods you, you know, with words. Floods you with words. How do you know they're right? Because you have sound teaching. It all bounces in the scripture. When the Holy Spirit teaches you, speaks through you, he'll be consistent with scripture. And if he's not consistent with scripture, the Holy Spirit didn't say it. You know, I've shared, you know, Linda doesn't mind me sharing this. And she was, actually she told me one time, she was in nursery and went really, so I just had all these outside revelations, you know, so I shared it. So the service went over like 30 minutes longer than it should. And you should never have a sermon 30 minutes longer than it should when your wife is in nursery. she didn't grasp the inspiration I was receiving. And I said, but the Lord told me these things. And she goes, you don't have to say everything the Lord's telling you. So, anyway, so I take this to heart, you know, and some of these things, well, it's like, this is a good story, and I don't have to say, but I think of stuff, you know, and anyway, so much for that. But, so what I'm saying is, sometimes things come to mind, and you shouldn't say them. You shouldn't say them, all right? And so the first, Lord, I really see this. Should I say this? You know, that's the second question. Because, you know, you have to know when it fits, you know. Because, and that's what the Lord does. That's what the Lord does with us. And he speaks truth to us. But we need to be alert at all the time. Like he'll tell you, Wallace, this is what's going on, but you can't say anything. Okay, I know what's going on, then that helps me to have a conversation, but I can't share exactly what he said. Because the Lord just gave me an update, you know, this is truth. But you can't share it yet. Y'all with me? And by the way, who am I talking to? All you with sound teaching. You know, sound teaching have received the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, all right? And sometimes you get words from people who don't have sound teaching. You know, not love your brother and like that, but I'm just, the Lord's not saying that to me right now. You know, trying to be kind, nice, and stuff like that. But you see what I'm saying? It's you individually before the Lord, you individually before the Lord. Now, again, I was going back that we say we don't know what to say. Have you been here 3 or more years? My God, you hadn't heard nothing. You know, it's large. You have the Holy Spirit. Well, you have something to say. You have, by definition, you have something to say. You have something to say. And so, the Lord doesn't let us get away with the excuse we don't have anything to say. The Lord doesn't let us get away with it. Not a way. In fact, his disciples, and always you refer back to Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples were not the cream of the crop, okay? And I think they weren't for a reason, because God was communicating to us people, all of us, you know, that you're not the cream of the crop. And even he told Paul, he said, you know, God didn't pick many wise among you. You know, so, you know, the point of it is, don't say, I have nothing to say. That's why he picked you. So now we have something to say, what he tells us. So here you have the apostles that weren't the cream of the crop. And so he said, oh, you guys go out, you got to talk. And this is what he says to them. This goes to us, every one of us is preaching and saying a word, divine appointment with people around, and they're interested in God's moving in the situation, you know, we're walking along. And God says this to them. When they deliver you over, this is Matthew 10, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious. Oh, my God, I got to talk to this person now. You know, God delivered you over, and this guy in line at McDonald's is asking you about Jesus. I just came in here for a hamburger. You know, what? No. In season, out of season. So, and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Give the gospel at this wedding, because I'm bringing somebody here it's just not really going to like you, but I'll use you anyway. Because you'll say the word. Okay. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. You don't have an excuse. Don't do that. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about it. It's just, wow, this is an opportunity. This will be cool. We'll just see what's happening. This, you know, me, Jesus, and this other person. That'll be fascinating what happened. See, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that hour. At that hour. When's it going to be given to you? That hour. You can't even get ready for it. I'm going to meet so-and-so. I'm going to study. I'm going to be ready for everything in the world so I can speak to them, and you step to them, and they're going to ask you some stupid question that you never dreamed they're going to ask. They said, don't worry about it. I will give you the words to speak at that hour. Now, that's for each one of us today. Don't worry about it. Be kind of excited. Well, this will be fun. This will really be fun. Holy Spirit's going to say something. This is really going to be neat. And you're paying attention. You're paying attention. So, he will be given to you at that hour. Why? Why? Church, why? For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's the reason you're evangelist. That's the reason people come to know the Lord. That's the reason there's power in what you say. Not your study. Not your study. By the way, the other place says study. But it's life. Reason. The reason that powerful things happen. Because it's not us who speak. But the Spirit of our Father is speaking through us. And then when? Whenever he gets good and ready. See? And who, we are the power in this whole thing. The vessel, I said, we are the vessel through the power which Christ works through. He gives us his insights, his answers. Now, I'm going to add this too. I was reading, who's the author of a book we're reading? R.T. Kendall. I was reading through R.T. Kendall, and he made the comment when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, and he said, when the Holy Spirit speaks, now we study, and I study for the message. We started Monday, okay? And I never study any of the examples I just gave you, just kind of popped in my head. I didn't have to say those, but it seemed good at the time when it came to. So I do study. But the Holy Spirit, when he speaks, he does it. And R.T. Kendall, and I love this, in his central part, he does it, and it's direct and immediate. When do you hear from, Holy Spirit, speak to me this morning before I get to church and tell me what to say? Ain't happening. Not happening. I'm going to see my mother. Lord, give me the words right now to say. Not happening. When you're in there and having the conversation and it pops up immediately and directly, you get the word. That's why you don't worry. See, that's why you don't worry. See, we can't connect in that because we can't connect with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. I've been around people, I am really going off base here, but I've been around people who talk about, you know, he's raising the dead and he's doing these things. And, you know, it's just, you know, and then you'll talk to him about, well, what's that? Well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit, I don't know if he'll give me things. I don't know if I can. Why are you talking about raising the dead? I mean, if he can't do this, he sure ain't going to raise the dead. But if he's going to raise the dead, he'll probably be able to speak through you. You see what I'm saying? See our thinking? Our mind. And this is what the Bible is trying to do. He's trying to tell us, this is how you should think. This is how, as a believer, you work. How powerful you are as a believer. And when I give the word to you, it will be immediate and direct. You don't prepare for it. I study for a message, and hopefully every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will give me a word. I think I elaborate a lot, but he does every once in a while give me a word on that. Are y'all with me? It's really important, but because it's saying who you are, preach the word, because you have the equipment. That's the reason I don't ask these guys what they're going to preach on. I bet they don't know what they're going to preach. That may be one of the problems. It's like, I don't know. You know, when it gets closer, the Lord will show me. See? But I know when they speak, they preach the word. Because they have sound teaching and they have the Holy Spirit. I know that about them. And most of y'all. I'm done with that. But the point of it's to all of you. It's to all of you and to give you a confidence to hear from the Lord. All right. So God is making a real point that it's words, and God's words are powerful. God's words are powerful. And we looked at this last week, but look at Isaiah 55:11. God says, my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing in which I sent it. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. He said it, and it was, because it doesn't come back void. It accomplishes what he says. Now, what is this telling the disciples? Say, you go at the time and speak to these people. It'll be given to you at that time, the word you speak, because it won't be you speaking, but it'll be the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. So when you say that word, that is my word, and that word is going out, and that word that you speak will not come back void, just like I said it myself. All God's people said. Do we think like that? No. But he's telling us, think like that. Think like that. Well, God might say something stupid. You could. But if you have sound teaching, you won't. And even with sound teaching, you mess up, and the Holy Spirit will correct you. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit working in someone else will correct you. And it's just fun. I enjoy this. It's kind of how the Holy Spirit, to me, like, corrects you. I look at Linda, and she's going, she didn't do that. She didn't do that. But I would consider that the Holy Spirit. The point I'm trying to make is for us to grasp around who we are, what God is saying about us, and how we need to move forward. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. Now, so these words that come from God are powerful. Therefore, when we preach the words that come from our mouth are powerful. I bet you, and please don't answer this, there's certain things I bet that I've said and spoke, and you think, oh my gosh, that's just the Lord spoke that. I clarify. I bet that's happened. I also bet has happened that I spoke the word, and you said, what in the world was he talking about? See? But I'm happy with it. I know that happened. You know, in fact, I'm a lot confident with that because I know the truth of the word will hit, and sometimes my editorials are not so good, won't hit. You see? You know, with me? But I'm trying to, we're bringing all of us into this group and where we could speak. Now, so as we continue on, these words are powerful. And so this means when our words are powerful, so when we speak something, those words go out and they don't come back void. See, this is the reason, like you have little kids and stuff as a believer, you should never tell your children they're stupid. You know why? Because you speak to them with the power of God. You speak to them with the power of God. It lands. Or you say, oh, you're the smartest kid that ever lived. You speak to them with the power of God. And they start functioning on it. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we need to understand that our words have power. I just had a section in the Old Testament where they're complaining. And God talks to the Israelites. He said, it will be as you said. Oh, shucks. they're complaining. All right. It will be as you said. See, it's like sometimes we are where we are because it is as we said. We speak, and again, there's this thing about positive thinking. This is not this. This is not this. This is us speaking consistent with what God says, and God going before us, transforming the world around us and using his for us, our supernatural purposes, which is what the church should be. And the Lord will change the world through the church. to the church. You know I'm going to say it. Governor Northam, the church is essential. Don't tell me it's not essential. Because God's going to change the world through the church. See? So so that sound teaching, you know that. It's what you're talking about. But, okay, so now let's hear, now we're going to run through some things. When he's telling Timothy to preach, he's telling him, when you preach, you're going to have to cover some areas. And these are kind of guidelines to cover the areas. This is what you're going to have to be involved in a sermon or, you know, when you share with people. So it's giving him an idea that these things are going to happen so he won't be frustrated. And so what he says here, our preaching of the word has a wide range of responsibilities. It covers a wide range of attributes when we speak, coming from that verse. So it says, this preaching involves, when we say it, we're going to find, it involves reproving. And that's it, it's reproving. I love coming here. Wallace is telling me everything I like. I love him. He's wonderful, you know, and he gives us $5 when we leave every morning. He's like, no, that's not preaching, okay? And that can be a lot of things with that, because preaching has some reproving. Not what I think, but it has, when we look at God, this is what given says, preach the word, study the word, and as I do, and I say, this is, I see what God is saying, and there's some reproving, and reproving means to expose. I read, this is what God says. You go, I don't do that. That exposed something. In you. Maybe somebody, I knew, that's not a big deal. But you expose. So preaching will expose things to people, and it will expose their fault and their error. Their fault and their error. And it also says we must rebuke in the message. There needs to message or rebuke. Now, I don't call anybody out and say, I rebuke. That's not what he's talking about. But when it puts out the word will speak for, and it will rebuke. Now, what's interesting, and this is one of these fascinating words I was looking at. The definition of this word is, rebuke, that they use is rebuke. It means to honor and to give out due measure. Now, go figure. Rebuke, honor, give out due measure. No, what it is, it says, what it's really saying when you look at it communicates that when we rebuke one in error, we are giving them honor that they deserved. You deserve the rebuke. You said what the word said, and it rebuked. And so they have the honor, they have the honor of being rebuked, because God brings them to understand, and they get the measure of rebuke that they deserve. The honor did. Does that make sense? Fascinating. It's like some, you know, it's kind of your kids do, you know. You smack your hand, stop, don't get in the candy, you know, like that. You go in your room and stay for a month. Okay, they rebuke, you know, once they slap your hands on you, go in your room for a month. Because there's different, you give the rebuke based on the honor they deserve, based on the crime, if you will. Now, so he said, but there's an element of rebuke. Now, what are we in conflict with? The world. The world's telling all this stuff. Where's the truth? The truth is in the church. So we're standing up to the world. And this is the only place where the truth is. Now, Wallace, wait a minute. These guys, Billy Skytrapers, they're brilliant and like that. Yeah, they are smart. They have wisdom and they build skyscrapers. But moral, eternal truth is in the church. Only in the church. Understand that. Only in the church. We'll elect a president and he'll set everything right in a godly way. Will not happen. The truth is in the church. It's here. So the whole thing here, there'll be a reproving, exposing, there'll be a rebuking. And this is general in a message for individuals. He's like, oh, God, I wish he hadn't said that. You know, see, it's for individuals, understand? So you see this, and then it goes on and says, now this is also in the message, the preaching, says at the same time, we exhort and encourage. literally means, which we comfort, and it literally means to call one alongside. You know, it's like, repent, you're all going to hell. You know, no, what it is, all of this is to express God's truth in a loving way, hopefully, funny way, and enjoyable way. But the purpose is that you're reaching around in pastoral sense, bringing people along your side and bringing them along to a better way of looking things. That's your desire. Just putting your arm around, and then we're walking through this thing together. Amen? That makes the power of it. Then it goes on to say, so we're trying to restore error, those in error with love. And it says, do things with great patience and long, which means long suffering. Like it's going to take a day or two. Okay, long suffering. You have to walk with people, long suffering with them, encouraging them to bring, focusing on Christ and develop them into the, that God will develop them into the person that they should be. And then with this long suffering, we also preach this with teaching. See, teaching. Understand. Get better. No, you teach. You teach and try to encourage people with this teaching that has to do with their life in Christ. And then this teaching, which brings understanding, we see how important it is because rebuke and exhortation must be accompanied by teaching, or the preaching will be totally useless. Teaching is totally useless if you can't grab hold of it and walk out and make some application. See, he's telling Timothy, I've gone to me, this baton is being passed on to you. Now, and so in this section where we saw in the beginning of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:20, it says, we are to guard the deposit entrusted to us. What was the deposit entrusted to Timothy? Sound teaching. That's his deposit with sound teaching. Now, you take care of sound teaching. Did he tell him what to do? He said, no, you have sound teaching, and you protect that deposit. And this deposit is to be guarded, is the sound teaching of the Word of God, not all this other nonsense. The church is the place of truth. So it's going to be in conflict with the world. Conflict with the world. Now, and so as we see, we guard this. And also in 2 Timothy 1:14, it says, and this preaching can only come through the Holy Spirit. Now, do you see, read 2 Timothy. Sound teaching, Holy Spirit, you preach, and all this has to work together. Sound teaching, Holy Spirit. In fact, you can't have sound teaching without the Holy Spirit. And then you communicate it. And so we know it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I went way too long in the beginning, but we get to this. Why? Why is preaching words such a big deal? Why? Just the next verse that tells us this is why you've got to do this. Timothy, you've got to understand, you've got to do this, the truth. You got to do this. You got to take care of it, Timothy, because of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. He says, you got to do this because the church is the only place for the truth. And for the time is coming when, now this is written 2,000 years ago. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, and they will accumulate to themselves teachers that suit their own passions. I have a certain sin, so I'm going to bring teachers that will accommodate my sin. You see that? And he said, that's going to happen. And he says, you got to have sound teaching, you know, because these people will have itchy ears. And turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Where are these people getting this nonsense? Don't we ask that? That's what they do. I'm telling you, that's what they do. They don't have the truth, so they make up their own, which fits their sin. Amen? That's what happens. So God's telling us this is what's going on. This is the picture of today. The only people surprised about, the only people, you know, that are really surprised about what's happening now is the church. And we got the word it's going to happen. But we didn't believe it. Yeah, they couldn't happen. It's never going to happen. Never. Well, I've told you this before. And this guy, 40 years ago, this guy's crazy. I liked a lot of other stuff. And he said, listen, I'm telling you what, you have people, and what they're doing is they're pushing a homosexual agenda, and the main point is to get it in the school system, and the main point in the school system is to get it in junior high, because once they get it in junior high, they've got the whole system, and they'll convert the whole nation. I said, well, that's stupid. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. 40 years ago, that was stupid. You know? I mean, it made no sense. But he goes, and I'm looking, you know, it's like I want to buy all this guy's books down and just read them. I was like, what? I can't believe it. Because that's exactly what happened. How did he know it? He studied Scripture. And he warned us along with the Scripture. Don't be surprised. Just don't get sucked into it. God is telling us. God is telling us the truth. So here we have suit their own desires, and they have these itching ears, you know, and they want these teachers that agree with them. So you touch under a pastor, and you have these certain views, and he teaches against them. I'm not listening to him. I'm going to go someplace that teaches what I believe. Now, there may be a reason for that, but there also may be a sin issue for that. I don't want this guy exposing my sexual sin. Who's he? I mean, you see what I'm saying? And so that's what they people look for. That, so they accept their own sin. Now, so what they're doing, we have to understand that these people are gratifying their own carnal, self-willed heart. Instead of being transformed, they get different teachers. Now, I mean, there's bad teachers and there's a reason to leave. Okay, don't preach the Scripture. And what these people, these the people will say it in various forms, but they will say, when you look at the Bible, they'll say Satan's first proclamation when he attacked human beings, and what they're saying says, hath God said. That's exactly what they're saying. Hath God said. Because look at here and look at here. Hath God said. Because look at here and look at here. The only thing that stands in the way is the inerrant, literal Word of God. That's the only thing that stands in the way. But that was for then. That was for, no, it's for right now. Only Satan wants us to think it was for then. So what I'm saying, we know. We know. We and all the people in the whole world, we should not be surprised. It's happened just like he said it would happen. And you know what? And it says they follow myths. They just make up stuff. Okay, they just make up stuff. They have no foundation. But this happened. Did you know this has happened before? Like several times before in history. In the book of Judges, the book of Judges describes the people then and describes the people now. And it says in Judges 21:25, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I mean, I'll write my own Bible. I'll write my own addendum. I'll make up my own philosophy. I'll make up my own history. Everybody does right what was right in their own eyes. Is that what's happening today? Is that what's happening today? Yeah. Okay, this is why we have moral chaos, why all our institutions are breaking down. This is why normal life has ceased to be wholesome and a good thing as God intended. This is why society has become chaotic and cruel. So, brothers and sisters, when we are dismayed at the state of society and the church, especially when the church departs from the Word of God and is also in moral confusion, we take heart, don't we? Yeah. You're nodding your head, but you're not smiling. Yeah, we take heart. Why? No, God already told us. He already told us. And since he already told us, we also know he'll take care of us. He told us. When did he tell us about all this moral confusion, how it was all going to fall? Well, to start off, he told us 3,000 years ago in the book of Judges. God knew 3,000 years ago. He knew. So he's telling us. No, that can't be true. He must not have meant that in the book of Judges. You know, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. See, and so, but when we look at this, we know still God was present then, and he's present now. He's present now. It's not going under the radar. It's not going that he doesn't see it. He sees it, and he's calling us to be in step with him as he deals with it. So, and he tells us, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, because I got this. Be in step with me, and you will be part of the solution and not part of the problem when we stand on the inspired, literal word of God. That's sound teaching. That's sound teaching. So, he goes on and tells us. He tells us that we should be encouraged. So now he communicates to Timothy. Now, by the way, this is all flowing down, okay? So now he said all this, you know, hey, preach the word. Hey, this is going to be bad. And now he says, the next thing he says, guys and gals, 2 Timothy 4, 5, as for you, aspirin is burning up around us. The school system is nuts. The Congress is crazy. People have lost their mind. This is me. You don't have to agree with me. This is opinion. Okay? Like, what in the world? What do you do? Everything is falling apart like you said it. What do you do? He goes, okay, Wallace, as for you. Okay, put your name there. Okay, you, as for you. This is happening. Don't worry about it. As for you, always be sober-minded. Always be sober-minded. You're not staggering around and confused. You know. Always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Now, see, my prayer is, God, take suffering away. That's my prayer. I'm consistent praying with that. Like that. So I want to tell you something. Maybe he'll answer your prayer. He didn't answer that prayer for me, you know, because it's totally inconsistent with his word. Okay? And so, no, he says, always be so, endure suffering. I got this. Maybe tough for a while, but endure suffering. I got it. You keep preaching the truth. You keep saying the truth. You keep depending on the word. Endure suffering and do the work of evangelist. What does evangelist say? Don't worry. Jesus has got this. Your sins are paid for. The kingdom of heaven is here. You do the work of an evangelist. But the world is going crazy. He goes, I know. That's why I put you there to tell them God's got this. Your sins are forgiven. There's an eternity. You do the work of evangelism. And by doing that, you fulfill your ministry. What's my ministry? Tell people about Jesus. Where? In the line to McDonald's. See, that's where it is. So we have this whole picture of what God's... And what's important, we have to grab hold of this, or we really worry ourselves sick. We worry ourselves sick. And it's no. Be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. Proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. Words have power. You proclaim. They go out just like my words go out. I said, let there be light, and there was light. You say, let there be light, and there will be light. Proclaim, proclaim. My word goes out, and when you say it, it goes out through your lips. Proclaim. Do the work of an evangelist. Therefore, fulfill your ministry. People say, what's my ministry? This, wherever you are, this is your ministry. The specifics be worked out later on, but this is your ministry. Now, also, closing with this, in this crazy world, we need to be clear-headed, endure hardship, because, listen closely, when things get tough, is a sign God's moving. All things are going, whether everything's a problem, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's good, you know, but it's like, no, that's good, and we can praise God for that, but he doesn't know when it gets stuck. When there's a stirring, God's moving. And so we're excited, not in the pain, not in the disturbance, but we're excited that God's moving. And it moves two different ways, because another individual has insight that God's moving is Satan. So God moves, Satan moves. So this is all happening to us. You know, it reminds me of Job. You know, he's out there, he's doing this little garden, you know, and then Satan and God are talking about him. You know, I have that feeling sometimes, because it's like, and so what did Satan say? He says, I've got the whole world. What'd God say? Well, I'm just going to smash you out. He goes, no, you don't have the world. Look at my servant Job. You don't have it. Give me a shot at him and he'll rebuke you. No, he won't. Yes, he will. Try it. See, I think there would be a better way to approach that whole thing. I mean, I just do, you know, but that's the way God does, you know. So this stuff is happening. Oh, my God. And that's one thing. Now, this is editorial. I look at all the craziness in this world, which is demonic. I mean, just call it what it is. It's demonic. And I'm thinking, you know, God's going to move. Something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. Because it's out of our hand, and it's demonic, and it's in the face of God, and it's like, okay. He said, don't worry about it. Be sober-minded. Work of evangelism. Don't ever not speak the word. Not speak the word. So, we're in a time for miracles. Because Satan's moving, and God's moving, and so the miracles will come, because there's what takes care when the spiritual moves in this world, and these two things are in conflict. They're moving against each other. And this disruption and insanity around us is a clue that God's moving all through the scriptures. Oh, everything fell apart. Then God just moved in. See? So, this all goes back. It's time to work. Be encouraged. Preach the breathed out word of God. It will not come back void. And I'm going to tell you something. All scripture is breathed out by God. I want to say something. We have to learn and grow. When God speaks, the word doesn't come back void. Let there be light, there was light. When we speak and God says, let there be light, there will be light. It will not come back void. That's why we're here. God, I wish you'd come to Ashburn. You got a whole room full of people with me in them. I'm here. Just be obedient to what I say. Recognize who you are. You're the truth. Therefore, the world disagrees with you. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. See? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We do thank you for what you have to say. And God, it's amazing. I mean, what you say about us is more than we can comprehend. I mean, it's hard to understand how you look at us and how much you love us and how much authority and power you've given us. And that, Lord, you are speaking to us such a strong way. So, Lord, continue to be our teacher. Let us understand who we are and grasp hold of that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.